Hey guys, it's DJ Jesse Janity, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about TrueCar. TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features may not be available in all states, but to see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV, the After Show Network, and you're tuned into the Newsroom After Show. I'm your host, Kendra Cavasel, joined with my co-host, of course, Kelly Oliski on the phone.
Hi!
Hey, Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. It's such a crazy episode tonight.
I know.
It's just getting more and more dramatic by the Sunday.
That I know. I can't even believe it's already the fourth episode of the third and last season. Two more left, and this one was actually called Main Justice, which we found out during the episode what that meant. But I guess without further ado, let's get into the juice, the meat of the show.
Well, I think one thing that was really interesting is, you know, there's a lot of discussion throughout the episode about trust and also ethics.
Yeah.
And we see just in the relationships themselves, which I think was kind of the lightest part of this episode, but Hallie and Jim had a really interesting, pretty, you know, almost a really big fight.
Yeah.
Because of her new job.
Almost like their first, I guess, the first test of their relationship, if you will.
Yeah. So if we remember, Hallie got fired for that crazy tweet that she tweeted after Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been looking for work, and it seems that she was offered a position with a new startup company. And Jim was, they seem to be living together, or at least, you know, staying in the same apartment for right now. So they're together in bed, and he's reading over her contract, and he notices that along with her salary, she also gets incentives for page views in her story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this was a little bit naive of him not to realize that this exists.
Well, as was it Maggie pointed out to him, he lives in the times of King Arthur, along with Will, Charlie, and I don't know if she said Mackenzie, but
Dawn. And Will, Charlie, and Dawn.
Oh, was it Dawn too? I thought he was a little more up to date, but yeah, but yeah, it was kind of naive of him to think, you know, otherwise.
But I also think one of the harshest comments that he made to her, basically saying that she knows a lot about what goes on behind the scenes in a newsroom. She knows things about Neil. She knows all these inside secrets. And he basically accused her of using that in stories in order to make more money by getting more page views and writing more gossip-focused pieces versus real, as he called them, journalistic pieces.
Right. Well, do you think he was justified in that, in terms of just coming off of, you know, the tweet that she did unexpectedly, I think? You know, maybe those are some of the things that he was thinking about while that was going on. Maybe there's a lack of trust, or maybe he didn't even know about that in his own mind.
I absolutely think there's a lack of trust. I mean, I think that that's pretty obvious within their relationship. These are some really big accusations. First and foremost, when she was fired, he basically says that people are going to be offering her job based on her axe to grind with the network. Whether or not she really has that, it's going to look that way.
Right.
And he seems to be more focused. And I think Maggie put it pretty straightforward when she said, I'm sure that you were there for her, but you also probably made her feel like she deserved it.
Right.
Whatever she got for her actions. And I think that is his personality. He has a little bit of that holier-than-thou, straight-laced mentality, which I don't disagree with him, but at the same time, it just shows how new, I guess, their relationship is, or how much they really don't know each other, if that's what he thinks of her.
Right. I think that's also probably telling of his EQ, his, you know, just because he's so good at his job, he's good at, you know, I didn't say, you know, he's good at at telling other people what to do, he's good at giving directions, and even his little quip, I think he said he doesn't like this new confident Maggie. It feels as though, you know, maybe that translates into his relationship.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even the joke that he decided to make when Hallie got really upset, when he said, she asked him, you know, basically, are you seriously accusing me of this? And he said, the joke is, how much are your bonuses again?
Right.
And I mean, that was a little too far. And then to say that he was just joking, I mean, I really don't believe that that at all was a joke.
I didn't believe that either.
I think that he absolutely feels that way. I don't think that he feels it in a malicious way. It's genuine concerns. And he is a producer. He investigates. He looks at all sides of the situation.
Right.
So I feel it's a natural thing for him. But in just the way that he goes about discussing it, he does come off very accusatory rather than having a discussion.
Right. I think he needs some alone time, like outside of a relationship, just to take some time to just do his job and focus on that, because he's taking things out on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to, and it's going to be very interesting to kind of see where they go, because even in the preview, it seems that the fighting isn't over with those two.
Right.
This is a really big deal, and it's I'm interested at least to see where they take it through the end of the series.
Right.
And how deep and how much attention it actually gets, because I really feel like it's a really interesting topic for a producer and a reporter to be in a relationship together. There is a very fine line there.
Right.
How much do you tell? How much of the pillow talk makes it into a story?
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, and do you hold your significant other responsible for that?
Right, because when he was with Maggie, there was a different dynamic. She was, I guess, almost at his level, in a sense, even though he was kind of directing her. But she, I fast forward to the correspondence dinner, I think there was a hint of jealousy when she came up with her new date, her new friend, her date, Jack.
Yeah.
And
I liked to see that, though. I was happy that she had a date with him.
Yeah, that
Do you still feel like he's a little shady? Was
I
it
still,
you or Sarah?
I feel
there's a little shade going on.
I was just, you read my mind. I was just going to say, I still feel some shade with that one. I just, I don't know if, you know, did she Google him? Is he really, you know, he just doesn't seem comfortable in that environment. He doesn't seem genuine. There, something is hiding, and she's kind of allowing him to come into their circle and observe things, and I almost feel he may be a reporter or a competitor or something
that
she needs to look out for. And again, I'm premature with my predictions, but you know how I do.
Yeah. Well, and that their story of how they met turned the focus again to ethics, and Hallie really felt the sting of that and thought that that was meant for her.
Right.
And Jim, you know, had to say that that's the first time you hear the story, and she's the one that asked about how they met.
Yeah.
But also in that situation, when you feel guilty about something, don't you feel like everything's kind of geared toward
about,
you? So
yes.
I'm not sure if, I don't know how much I trust Hallie either, and how much I believe that it really is innocent and she doesn't have the intent to capitalize on her situation.
Right. Well, that goes back to last week. I know we addressed that as well. What had we said about her? That she probably intentionally, I mean,
that she did the tweet on purpose.
Right. Just to kind of be in demand for her next job. Because everyone pretty much knows, I think, that ACN's going down. And she doesn't want to be on that ship, so.
Yeah. I mean, and on a lighter note, in the relationship sector, I really love the dynamic between Sloan and Dawn. I think it's really funny.
I do.
There's a new head of HR who is he's ready to nail those two for dating.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that's going to head in two episodes.
Well, find out Gary's a big player. He dates everybody in the newsroom.
Yeah, that was left field. that threw me off because I thought he was a great guy. You know, is he one of the news directors or news assignment editors? I think I can't remember.
I believe he is.
He always had just a, you know, gentle look to him, and now he's a predator. Why do they have to flip the script?
Well, it seems that there was a complaint filed against him by one of his ex, one of the girls he dated in the newsroom. That was one of his subordinates.
That's like dating 101. Sorry.
You know, I think one of the most embarrassing things is when you truly, if you're going to take it to that level where you feel the need to file a complaint and air your business, how embarrassing is it to find out that you're just bad at your job?
Right.
And it has nothing to do with who you slept with.
That was a clever, I liked the banter in that scene.
I did too. I liked that it wasn't just that it was simply, it doesn't matter that I slept with you, you're just, for this particular story, you weren't the right person for it.
Right. And what can I do better? Write better. What can I do about it?
Write
better. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
And I'm just waiting for the reviews to come out again on how women are being written so badly and, all of that. And I actually thought this scenario was funny. I didn't find it offensive, but I thought it was pretty funny and a different take on that, because anyone who works in a small office or obviously doesn't matter the size of the office, but when you're working all the time, 24 hours a day, basically, where else are you going to meet people? So it's very common to kind of, dip around in the office to find company.
Well,
and that is a scenario that happens more often than not.
Right. And Will and Mackenzie are together. And since
they can't nail them, HR is going to go after Dawn.
The little people. I know. Back to Sloan and Dawn. I don't know what to make of that. I still don't know if from the last episode, if she's really in love with him or if that was a test or where they're going, or is it just, I think he's kind of falling for her. I don't know if it's requited or not, but.
I mean, I think they're such a great match. I think that they complement each other very well. There's that fun banter between them. They give each other the push and the pull.
Yeah.
They challenge each other, I think, in the way that their personalities need it. So I think this is a good match. I didn't think I was going to like it, but the more that I see them together, I think it's a good fit.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see kind of how they're going to dodge this HR guy. He seems to be popping up everywhere. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's the pop-up guy. He was at the correspondence dinner, too. That was
he was at the correspondence dinner, and Dawn saw him right as he was about to feed some food, so he shoves a meatball in this poor old man's face.
Yeah, that was funny. I wonder, well, and what happened? I guess he never found her office, because he told the man how to get to the office, but I don't think that, I mean, they didn't show us what happened then.
No, they didn't show us, but I think from the preview, we're going to see what had Sloan kind of out of it a little bit when Dawn came in and said, we're not dating.
Oh,
and
right.
He kind of looked at her like there was something going on. And they cut the scene, but it almost was to me as if he was going to ask her, what's wrong, what's going on, and we didn't really see. But we got a glimpse in the preview for next week's episode. It looks like something's happening with
the numbers.
Stocks or right. something's going down there. I'm not sure. I didn't really get a good look as to what exactly she was looking at, but
it looked like the graph was decreasing, whatever it was trying to illustrate.
Yeah, but so something's definitely dropping, and yeah. I mean, we already know with the takeover and all of that and right. everything that's going on, things are not looking good for ACN, so we'll see exactly what that has to do with it, I believe, next week.
Yes. Goodness. We have to wrap it up in a pretty bow, or not, or an ugly bow, I guess.
Well, I mean, and that brings us to Lucas Pruitt.
Yeah.
Who is supposed to be the savior, because they don't want to give these twins or this other media company the power to buy ACN and get rid of the news division altogether. So they found, what was he, the 1,300
richest
or 1,390-something richest person in the world
yeah.
to buy the company.
It was funny that so Sloan found that statistic.
Yeah. Leona and Reese have done everything that they can to hold off this sale as far as changing the bylaw, to decrease the percentage of shares. They've gone through all these different things to try to keep these kids from taking over this company and selling the shares to the other media company. And now they're down to they need someone to come in and buy it, and
right.
someone else. So they're looking to this Lucas Pruitt, who is BJ Novak, which I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is insane, which I find hilarious.
Yeah. He was the
super
boss.
Super serious. He needs to have Schweppes lemon soda, or his assistant gets fired.
Yeah, because Canada Dry is not good enough.
No, I he is, I mean, he's, you know, one of the richest people in the world. He wants what he wants when he wants it. And we get that message very loud and clear as soon as we meet this character.
Right.
And Charlie is really taken aback, and I found that really funny, because there's not very many people that can kind of silence Charlie or stump him, and he was stuttering a little bit.
He was, yeah. I think he was also preoccupied, so he may mm-hmm. have been a little sharper had he not had the other meeting on his mind, but yeah, I agree with you. Charlie would have preferred probably an easier route. I know he made a joke about trying to poison the twins or something in order
Reese,
to...
Reese, yes, that was his solution.
Oh, right, Reese. And that I was, wow, it's getting serious.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Well, we find out that Lucas has a lot of ideas for ACN. He yes. has his own ideas that they need to listen to. So before Charlie meets him, he tells Will and Mackenzie, you know, first of all, Will had made a statement on the news last year that he was never going to the correspondents' dinner again. He berated them all, and now he has to suck it up and go because they need a savior to save the company. Mm. So the entire staff goes to this dinner, and that's where they're going to meet Lucas. And he has a set schedule. Charlie's supposed to meet him in the ballroom. Charlie's not there, and that's when we see his personality show.
Okay.
He keeps telling Charlie, I was supposed to meet you in the ballroom. You weren't there. And he says it like three times.
Right. In a kind of
snide way. Just to get the point across that if you say you're going to be somewhere, you need to be somewhere.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the part that was stumping Charlie, because he doesn't really follow protocol that way.
Right.
So it's going to be very interesting to kind of see those two work together, especially when Lucas wants to do a whole channel about people that stalk Danny Glover.
I was kind of like, where is he going with the Danny Glover? I was worried about
that. He wants to do crowdsourcing, you know.
Yeah.
He wants to do all kinds of crazy channel ideas.
Yeah. Which, I mean, anything goes these days, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, that's what sells. The crazier, the better. I mean, I'm a sucker for Snapped on Oxygen. I'm telling you.
Sorry. Yeah,
so I get it. It's terrible. It's my guilty pleasure. So I definitely get where he's going with that, but I don't really see how that's going to save the news division, but we'll see.
Right. Because Charlie was adamant, you know, keeping it news when he asked for a suggestion. He said, mm-hmm. Now it's your turn. And he said, how about a, you know, news station that reports the news? And
yeah, and he's like, no, it's Danny Glover stalking. That's
right.
What we want.
But then we have to remember Charlie's part of the Times of King Arthur crew.
That's
so.
Right. Yes. That's
but,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the biggest biggest deal of the night has been, and you know, which has been for the last few weeks, is Neil, this FBI, the leak, the source, all this situation going on with this story about these 38 people dying and exactly how it's going to be handled.
Right.
And the episode opens with the FBI doing the raid. And I think one of the funny things, we got a lot of Gary in this episode.
Yeah.
The beginning, he's singing, walking into the office. He comes into this and is like, what the heck is going on?
Oh, yeah, he was singing Anything Goes.
And has his little back and forth with the officer.
Yeah, Anything Goes. Yeah, that was on purpose, I'm sure. He was singing Anything Goes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it was such a... I don't know. It's come to a certain point where it's just become too much, I think, with the raid and the digging, when they know who they want to catch. They know they need Neil. They need his source, which was also interesting mm-hmm. because then that woman Lily popped up out of nowhere at the correspondence dinner.
Right. And before we meet her, Will is the only one trying to be cooperative in all of this. Mm-hmm. Almost to a comedic stance,
mm-hmm.
that he's telling everybody, calm down. They're just trying to do their job. Everyone relax. Let's just, you know, let it happen. Charlie's angry. Mackenzie's cussing at Molly. They're fighting. I mean, everybody is, you know, very agitated by this whole situation. Rightfully so. They don't really mm-hmm. understand why it's gotten to this point. So Charlie decides he's going to go on air, which we find out he's actually not doing that, but everybody scrambles. Gary grabs the camera. Don and Jim go into the control room, have no idea what they're doing. Sloan goes to the news desk. They are making it look like they are about to go live on the air and show everyone what's happening in the newsroom right now.
Right. And, the FBI thought they were bluffing.
At first, and I mean, they took it all the way. Maggie comes in, knows how to run the boards,
yeah.
gets everything started, has the lights on. It looks like they really are about to go,
mm-hmm.
and Molly pulls it.
Yeah, that was nice. That was perfect timing. It was great effort on their part.
It definitely was. It was a great group team effort,
yeah.
And that's where we get the, you know, we see Maggie is definitely more confident. She's a little more curt as well. She's not playful. She's really not that silly or anything. You know, she's a little bit more serious and stuff now.
Mm-hmm. And I think they brought up a good point. It's kind of a sidebar, but when she mentioned, you'd think after all this time working around this equipment that you'd know how to use it, even though that's not their roles. It's something I think just everyone can learn from. You know, you just... If you're working somewhere, just to kind of absorb everything that you're around, just know what.
And it shows that she has.
Right.
It shows that she is definitely someone that looks at everything as a learning experience and has been watching and learning.
Right.
Because again, when we first met her character, she was basically Will's assistant.
Right.
So she's gotten in there. She's gotten her hands in the mix of everything, and she is really learning all aspects of how to put on a news.
Yeah, she's grown.
Which I thought is really great, as we're really just kind of getting more into the fact that she's definitely not that anyone ever thought she was dumb or silly or anything, but just kind of showing how intelligent she is,
mm-hmm.
and she pays attention.
You could see
and
that.
Although things have gotten to her, you know, she's back on her feet.
Yeah, I think episode one, season one, we all saw that kind of, not fire mm-hmm. in her, but just the smarts. She had that. She had the enthusiasm, the drive, and I think she's probably grown the most throughout the whole series
mm-hmm.
of all the characters, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. At least that's one we've got to kind of see a little bit more, I think. I think her and Will, because I think Will's character has changed a lot over these three seasons.
That's true, too,
just
yeah.
being more open and more personable and more... embracing the team as a family rather than just seeing them as lowly employees that just work for him.
Yeah.
I mean, we really see him coming together and standing in front and being a leader.
And I think that transition coincides with his love for Mackenzie, how they've
mm-hmm.
gone from fighting tooth and nail to engaged, basically, and planning a wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. So this mock newscast buys them a week.
Gosh.
A week without prosecution. So they have a meeting on Friday in Washington to figure out what they're going to do.
And
they say that Neil has immunity then, at least until then.
Right.
And to give up the source and all of that stuff.
Meanwhile, he's in Venezuela.
Yeah, we find out, yeah, he's in Venezuela.
He really ran.
No extradition.
Right. He really took the message from Will very seriously. He ran all the way to Venezuela, which... they didn't show us the photos. I mean, I know they would be just kind of mock photos, but it would have been interesting to see that and to see how he was looking over his shoulders and how he was dressed and that sort of thing. But I guess maybe they just wanted us to imagine for ourselves.
Right. Well, and Molly goes to see Mackenzie, sets up this meeting in a steam room, and
pats her
again,
down.
We get into the whole trust issue. You know, she's putting her job on the line, but because they've been friends for so long, and I don't know how much of that I believe either. I mean, these people are trained to do stuff like that and make people believe what you want them to do, as is Mackenzie. So it's very interesting to kind of see that level of quote unquote trust that they're supposed to be showing one another.
Right. Well, it's always a chess
giving
game.
And taking a little bit.
Yeah. They have to be one step ahead of the other and think if this happens, then what, you know, if this, then that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, Molly encourages Mackenzie to get Neil to come in. This is very serious. It's not a joke. You know, they need to figure out who this source is and what's happening. And that's when we find out that he's actually not coming in. He's not wherever they thought that he was. Mm-hmm. He is out of the country. And this meeting was very interesting. In my notes after the meeting was finished, I just put, Will is awesome. And just the way he handled himself with this lawyer that came in throwing elbows and accusations and threats and all of this stuff and just being very aggressive rather than coming in, sitting down and having a conversation, which I get.
Right.
I think this is a big topic for everyone, how involved the media gets in undercover operations and situations like that because of undercover agents and identity, and people can really get hurt and die and all of that because of reporters giving away too much information and information that they really, you know, don't know.
Right.
Necessarily have all of the facts and people get hurt. So I see both sides of this. I see both sides of this, but I don't really understand why it has to be so aggressive from the government side.
Well, I
especially
think...
if they want to get information. I just feel like that's so not the way to go about it. But obviously, I mean, I don't really know what I'm talking about. So
no, I think it's, I mean, they just want to scare people into admitting things. So that's just the MO. And Will,
I just feel like you don't get that far with fear. I mean, they do this for a living. They know more than I do. But I just don't see how that, when dealing with journalists and people that do this all the time, I feel like the scare tactic isn't the best way to go.
No,
I
agree.
I liked Will explaining it that way.
Right. No,
it's like, I was the one that was here to be cooperative. And
Yeah, and that's, but do you think if the government had been nicer or the lawyer had been nicer, it would have gone any better? Would he have divulged anything? I don't think so.
No, he was never going to tell anybody anything. But it could have been more of a civil conversation, I guess.
But then we wouldn't have that witty Sorkin banter instead of, you know, we'd just be watching paint drying. So.
Yeah, but just the way he calls him out for sitting across the table, insulting everyone and all of that. And he said, but he also has that cocky attitude, you're not going to put a TV star in jail for contempt.
Right. That was a good one, too.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I just, a lot has to happen. Is the season finale about 8 hours or something, or series finale?
I know, it needs to be. I just can't imagine it all wrapping up in an hour.
Yeah.
Just, I can't.
This doesn't work for me. I don't know if it works for anyone.
Not at all.
Yeah, so a lot of Gary in this episode. We actually should shout out Chris Chalk. He's been on the show. On the after show, so maybe he'll be back before I should call him out. Maybe he'll be back on the show to talk about it before it wraps up.
Absolutely, that would be great. I know. Got to see a lot of him tonight. It was really, really good. We got to find out got to see some of his singing skills too.
Oh yeah. I was wondering about that. I wonder if he went into studio. And then,
yeah.
So about the EPA report, I know it was kind of it was a big deal. It was kind of a short little, I guess, section of the show, but it was a big, significant part of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, Maggie has this EPA report that's embargoed. She gets it. You know, as we saw last episode, she got it before even the president had it.
Yeah.
And she's got this exclusive interview and goes to Jim for help.
Yeah, that, which I was laughing out loud because when she said she highlighted the important parts and she basically highlighted the whole book, I remembered school days and doing the same thing when when you're studying and you think, oh, that's important, and you end up highlighting the whole thing. So.
Yeah, everything's important, apparently.
Yeah. That was interesting, too, because I think there's still some tension between those two, and there was that banter and the contention of the balance of power, I guess. But yeah, they were kind of fighting without fighting about the report and about him helping. And it ended up turning out to be, I think, an interview that she hadn't expected.
We find, what was his name, Mr. Westbrook.
Yes.
Mr. Westbrook is the assistant deputy director because, as we learned last episode, there wasn't an actual director.
Right.
And he decides to use this platform to go on and just basically say the world is ending. We have no hope. If we would have done something 20 years ago, maybe we could live. Yeah. But now we're all going to die.
Right. No optimism, no solution for the public, which is probably not a good idea to announce on the nightly news. And I think Maggie was in shock herself because that wasn't what she was assuming would come out of the... I actually don't think she thought the whole thing through. I don't think she knew what was going to come of that interview.
Well, you got to remember his comment from last episode as well, where he said, basically said that, you know, the world was ending, and she called him out on that, and she said, don't worry, no one was listening, and he said, tell me about it.
Right.
So that kind of foreshadowed a little bit that if nobody's listening and you want people to listen, what better way than to do what he did?
That's true.
But I wonder how many, it didn't seem like very many people took him seriously. I mean, it didn't seem to stand. I mean, I know that there was a lot of other stuff going on with this whole FBI situation.
Right.
But they kind of brushed over that a little bit. Basically, it's like, okay, the world's about to end, but we're cool.
Right.
Well, didn't expect the interview to go that way.
Well, that's the thing. I think everyone kind of did. They gasped a little. Maggie was a little confused. Mackenzie. Mm-hmm. And they're all still preoccupied with the now. When you hear 10 years, 20 years, I guess you're just kind of shelving it and you freak out later.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to...
As long as it's not happening tomorrow.
Right. I would have liked to have seen what maybe some of the people at home were reacting to, how they were reacting. But I guess maybe the next episode they'll show that because it's too immediate.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know, if we had done something 20 years ago, that doesn't sit well either.
You know. I mean, all the crazy weather we've been having, I've been saying for a minute, I would not be surprised if the world ends a lot sooner than we all think it's about to.
Oh, gosh. Don't say it, Kelly. Let me just drive home after this. Let me just drive home.
I'm telling you, the day after tomorrow is going to happen. You saw it on the newsroom.
Breaking news from Kelly. She's scaring me here. I don't know how I feel about my co-host now.
Oh.
No. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. but yeah, it'll be, I mean, there are so many things to kind of tie up in a nice bow, or like I said, an ugly bow by the end of the series. And yeah, we're going to need an 8-hour finale because I don't know how this is going to happen.
Right, and we see that Mackenzie meets the source. That was a really big reveal and something I was very surprised to see. And
her appearance, or?
Well, just the fact that she went to Mackenzie.
Yeah, that was interesting. I wonder.
In that environment, we find out she works for BCD. She's one of the publicists.
Right.
So that explains why she didn't know why Neil had to teach her.
Oh, right.
How to steal the documents.
Right.
Because she wasn't...
She's not a techie hacker.
No.
Type. Right.
And I didn't expect it to be somebody from BCD. I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't. I thought it was similar to, I forget which season, maybe season one, where there was the Egyptian blogger that called, kind of mm-hmm. called in. I thought it was a situation like that, where it would have been
mm-hmm.
a genius hacker kid at home who knew something, you know, that something like that. But yeah, I was surprised, and at first I didn't know who was approaching Mackenzie. I thought it was just, I don't know, somebody who wanted to mingle, and Mackenzie didn't seem like she wanted to give her the time of day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
She gives her 96 hours, did she say?
Yeah. She said... What,
96
Monday,
hours, she said she's going to post the story herself.
Which Mackenzie said she can't do. I don't know. Do you think it was a bluff, an empty threat?
I don't know. I mean, she seemed to be pretty upset that the story hasn't already gone out. She's concerned with the people that have already died. She doesn't... Obviously, she's not... For someone like that in that position, it's really hard to imagine kind of what you would do in that. I mean, being a publicist myself, it's really interesting, the storyline for me, because I don't understand. If you feel that strongly where you're going to go and anonymously give this tip, whether it's anonymous or not, and go to the extreme of doing this, and still, it seemed like she still has her job, right?
I believe so.
Why would you stay working? Yeah. I don't know. Like, to be in that, and maybe not. Maybe she doesn't work for them anymore, but it seemed, at least I got the impression that she did.
I think she still does, because she's anonymously the source, so there's no reason for her not to be working there. I don't.
Right. So I don't know. I have a little bit of a hard time with that, because if you're really worried about being responsible for situations like that, how do you keep yourself in that position?
Right.
How do you not, I mean, I know there's, how are you willing to get other people in trouble and hide from this yourself?
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, it's an interesting thing for me.
To stay safe until everything hits the fan. She just wants to blend in, and then once, I don't know, maybe she just doesn't ever want to reveal herself, maybe... There could be a million reasons.
Yeah, I mean, you never really know. There could be things that she signed. There could be all of these legal ramifications on her end.
Right.
But how much of yourself are you willing to risk for the safety of others? Because we see how much Neil was willing to risk.
Right.
I guess that's my point.
Right.
Is we see the lengths that Neil was willing to go to cover for her and save her.
That's true.
And we don't really see, and we don't know. I mean, we met her for like 2 minutes, so we don't really know.
Right.
So this is just completely my opinion, but it just, that's kind of what stands out to me, is we see the lengths to which Neil is going to go to protect his source, to make sure that this story gets told and these people, what happened to them gets out there, but I don't feel like she's doing the same. And that's kind of always been the interesting thing for me with situations that I've seen, like, similar to this on the news with the whistleblowers and, you know, kind of all of those things, the people that stay in those positions for all different circumstances. And I'm not saying it's, you know, a good thing, a bad thing, right thing, whatever. I absolutely have no idea what I would do myself in a situation like that. But mm-hmm. It just, all in all, it's just a very interesting, I would like to know more about her and why she's doing what she's doing and the way that she's doing it.
Right. Well said. Well, we'll probably find out, I think, in the next two episodes. And and then we can figure out what's really happening in that circle, because everything is just coming down. Everything's just crumbling. That's my prediction again, prematurely.
Yeah. There's so much. I love it. I want to rewatch the episode, kind of go back and see some other little things that I might have missed, but there's so much going on. It's such a great series. I'm really sad to see it go.
Yeah, me too. It's, I don't know. It's too soon.
I hope we get to see the wedding. I'm going to be really upset if we don't get to see a wedding and a loser table with really bad fish.
Right. That was good. I think that might be the finale. Maybe it will be the wedding.
I hope so.
Oops, sorry. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I guess that's our wrap up for that episode, Main Justice. And I guess we'll get into the news.
Yep, you have some news
After
for us
tonight. TV news. I do. I guess it's tentatively sad news, but I'm sure it'll be picked up again. The news is that Sony has dropped Aaron Sorkin's Steve Jobs movie. I don't know if you've heard about that.
I did hear about that. What was the deal with that?
So, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the company has pulled its backing from the project. But there are rumblings that perhaps Universal will pick it up. So the news was that there were other projects lined up, so there wouldn't have been any space to produce the Steve Jobs movie, and they're on a quicker timeline than would have been, you know, would have worked for Sony. So and
interesting.
I'm sure it'll be made. Yeah, and if not, maybe they could shelve that and get back to the newsroom.
I know, right? That was the reason why we're getting no more newsroom.
Right.
Pause that for a second.
And then, other than that, they're still in the midst of casting the Steve Jobs film, and the reports are that Scarlett Johansson and Seth Rogen have been reached out to. So that'll be interesting.
Huh.
I know. Did you have any news?
Unfortunately, I do not.
Oh, that's okay. Then we'll get into our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh, scary predictions. did you want to go first, or?
Well, I think... Well, one thing that I wanted to mention that we didn't have a chance to is, again, we with the EPA report news to cast, we hear Maggie doing the voiceover.
Yes.
So she's becoming more in the forefront, which we had talked about before, which I love to see. And I just really think that that's going to expand, and we're going to see a lot more of her.
Yeah, actually, maybe...
More so than we're going to see Elliot, I think.
Yeah, maybe she'll be one of the... new channels, the new, was it 500 channels that,
could
that
be.
They were talking
one
about.
One of the new channels that Mr. Lucas Pruitt wants to
she'll host the show
to
on
bring to the network.
Stalking Danny Glover.
Do you think this is going to be the last, that we're not going to see Neil again, or do you think we're going to see him in the last episode?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we didn't even plan that. What my prediction is that Neil we may not see him physically, but I think what they'll do is try to use him on their side, the FBI side. They may hire him to be sort of an inside person. You know how... hackers are hired for...
You know, Molly did make a comment that they were impressed with his skills.
Yes, and that kind of triggered that thought in my mind for the prediction. So,
very good. I can see that. If he ever decides to come back from Venezuela.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'd have to have a guarantee that he'd be safe and all that. I don't know if he would need his identity changed or anything, but I think that's my prediction.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see what we have in store for the remaining episodes.
Yes.
I'm really curious to see how they tie it all up and
I know.
What they're going to keep us with.
And next week we'll have Sarah Mendoza back in the studio. Until then, you can reach me at Kendra Cabasel. It's at KendraKabasele. And Kelly?
You can reach me on Twitter, Instagram, and all that good stuff at Kelly with an IE 079.
And that's it. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.